Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
National Grid's proposed rate hike will face scrutiny this afternoon in downtown Buffalo at a public comment meeting of the State Public Service Commission. The senior advocacy group AARP New York will be filing a comment of protest to the proposal they say will result in increases of monthly delivery bills by 28.9% for natural gas and 23.4% for electric. Residents can file their comments at the 4 p.m. meeting at the Buffalo Central Library Auditorium. AARP New York says 46,000 households received a final termination notice from National Grid in July. There are more than 236,000 households, which are 60 or more days late on their bills to the utility. Hundreds of yellow ribbons are expected to be tied to trees near Niagara Square as a part of a local effort to mark the approaching one-year anniversary of the October 7th attack on Israel. State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort will hold a press conference this morning to highlight the Bring Them Home Tour, described as a non-political bipartisan initiative calling for the release of four American hostages in Gaza. And the Medical Intensive Care Unit at ECMC is receiving national recognition. The unit has been conferred a gold-level Beacon Award for Excellence from the American Association of Critical Care Nurses. ECMC is one of eight ICUs in New York State to receive the honor. It recognizes caregivers who successfully improve patient outcomes. A 23-year-old Williamsville man is dead and a 3-year-old is being treated for critical injuries following a Monday night crash on Sheridan Drive. Amherst police say they're still investigating the cause of the crash that took place at 9:40 p.m. when a sedan heading east on Sheridan Drive collided with a westbound sports utility vehicle that was turning onto SJ Road. The sedan's 23-year-old driver was pronounced dead at the scene, while the driver of the SUV was taken to ECMC for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries, and the 3-year-old passenger was taken to Oshai Children's Hospital. Police are seeking dash cam and other video as they continue their investigation. No charges have been filed at this time. SUNY Erie Community College is celebrating a historic milestone. On Monday, Dr. Adiam Sagai made history as the first woman of color to be named president of ECC.
The overarching goal of our strategic plan includes student success and empowerment, diversity and equity and belonging, economic development and upward mobility for our students, as well as institutional sustainability.
Dr. Sagai was appointed as interim president of SUNY Erie by the Board of Trustees in December 2023. And the Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens is moving forward with an interim president and CEO following the sudden death of Mark Mortensen. 17-year veteran of the South Buffalo Institution, Aaron Grazik, has been promoted from her current post as chief operating officer. Mortensen died suddenly on September 14th.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
It's also Banned Books Week, with a wide range of events sponsored by the Buffalo and Erie County Library. Their mantra for the week is freedom to read, as book bans hit a national high last year with a reported over 4,000 instances. WBFO's Ryan Zunner has more.
A presentation on book burnings, talk centered on inclusive programming at libraries, public art displays, and authors highlight some of the events the Buffalo and Erie County Library will be holding from September 23rd to 28th. Library Director John Spears says it all comes as people's freedom to read is under attack.
I hope that the people who are doing this really realize that what they're doing is un-American. It flies in the face of our Constitution, of the First Amendment, of the freedom to read, of freedom of expression, of freedom of thought. And people have a right to control what they read. Parents have a right to control what their children read. But no one has a right to control what others read.
Spear says oftentimes the most attacked books are ones that deal with the LGBTQ community and people of color. He says it's important those books are protected because many share the firsthand lived experiences of their authors.
People who are just as American as everyone else, people who are your neighbors, your friends, very often your family, and their stories are real, and their stories have a right to be told.
Public libraries use taxpayer dollars to purchase books, so Spears acknowledges citizens have a right to express their concern with selections. He cites a few instances where public complaints led to removing outdated medical books and shifting one book called Gender Queer from the children's section to teen. But it has to be a fair process.
So I don't want to say that the challenge process in and of itself is bad, but the challenge when it is designed to remove materials that are factually accurate or that do maybe show a diversity that makes some people uncomfortable, that's when it becomes problematic.
More information on Banned Books Week events can be found at the library's website, buffalolib.org/bannedbooks. Ryan Zunner, WBFO News.
A legal challenge is underway in Ontario over a controversial provincial law that allows hospitals to place discharged patients in nursing homes not of their choosing, or face a fine of $400 a day if they refuse. Dan Karpachuk reports the law was meant to free up hospital beds.
A legal challenge to a controversial Ontario law began Monday. It allows hospitals to place discharged patients in long-term care homes not of their choosing or face a fine of $400 a day if they refuse. The law was meant to free up hospital beds during times of crisis such as the pandemic. The charter challenge is aimed at testing the constitutionality of the law. The government of Premier Doug Ford pushed the law through the legislature in 2022, circumventing public hearings. Two groups, the Advocacy Center for the Elderly and the Ontario Coalition, argued that the law violates the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Ontario disagrees. The law allows hospitals to pick a nursing home for a patient who needs an alternate level of care without consent. A patient's health information can be shared with the nursing homes without their consent, and patients can be sent to homes up to 45 miles away in southern Ontario. The court will look at whether the law has actually improved the flow of patients. But the organizations fighting the case say that has not happened. More people in the alternate care category are waiting for beds in the long-term care homes. They say there aren't enough beds available. They want the law struck down because it is arbitrary and ineffective. But Premier Ford says hospitals need bed capacity, and those discharged patients should be in long-term care homes, not in hospitals. And his government argues that the increase in the numbers waiting for long-term care beds is not because the law is ineffective, but due to a spike in population growth. And some hospitals say the law is working and has helped move ALC patients to nursing homes. But the Advocacy Center and the Ontario Health Coalition argue that the law mainly targets seniors of poor mental and physical health, depriving them of the ability to choose where to live and how their health information is shared. Both sides do agree that there aren't enough hospital or long-term care beds in Ontario. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpachuk in Toronto.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.